Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, everyone, and happy Memorial Day weekend. What are we supposed to do when disagreements arise inside of the church? That same question was faced by the community of Christians in Antioch in first century Palestine, as Luke describes it in the book of Acts, in our first reading this morning. Antioch, unlike Jerusalem, was a cosmopolitan city because it was on the trade route that connected Asia Minor with the port cities of Palestine. A large community of Jews was based there, along with just as many Gentiles, Greeks and Romans. When the gospel was first preached there, it won converts from all three groups, Jews, Greeks, and Romans. As the community grew, a disagreement cropped up. Some of the Jewish converts were saying that the Gentiles who had become Christians should follow the Mosaic law, the law of the Old Testament, especially about circumcision and other dietary practices. Now, circumcision of babies is one thing. Circumcision of a grown man is a very sensitive topic. Others said that since Christ had already fulfilled all these laws in himself, it was no longer necessary for them to follow them. The disagreement, as we were told, got very heated, and it was threatening to divide the Christian community there. So had the Holy Spirit made a mistake? Was the Holy Spirit somehow on vacation or failing to inspire that church? In fact, no. God had known that disagreements would arise among us Christians, and he had instituted a hierarchical structure through which the Holy Spirit could work to resolve them. The Christians in Antioch, we are told, sent a delegation to Jerusalem, where Peter and the other apostles were still living. Peter called the apostles together in a council about how to deal with the disagreement, and it was decided that the Gentile Christians did not have to follow the law of Moses in its entirety, especially in the rules regarding circumcision. Today's reading from the book of Acts shows us the whole process unfolding. It does tell us, however, that disagreements are natural and unavoidable, and that through its hierarchical structure, the church has been well equipped by God to resolve these differences. True love for Christ is always shown in humble obedience to Christ's true church. All the saints show us this in the same truth in different ways, in the way they reacted to controversies in their own time, which occur in every age. In the High Middle Ages, one major controversy was about the Eucharist. The church had only recently converted many pagan peoples who still held on to pagan superstitious beliefs. These tendencies gave rise to uneducated Catholics, a lopsided devotion to the Eucharist. Instead of seeing it as Christ's loving and sacramental presence, they began to see the Eucharist as some sort of magical charm. This was wrong, and the church strove to correct it. But some theologians overreacted, going to the other extreme and teaching that Christ was only symbolically present in the Eucharist. This too was wrong, and the church strove to correct it. One of the church's greatest theologians, St. Thomas Aquinas, lived and worked in this time period. He was more intelligent and better educated than any of the popes that he served, yet he always supported their official teaching in this and every other controversy. His dying words show how beautifully true love for Christ overflows into humble docility to the official teaching of Christ's church. Here is what Thomas Aquinas said before he died, receiving communion for the last time. I firmly believe and know as certain that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, Son of God, Son of the Virgin Mary, is in this sacrament. I receive you, the price of my redemption, for whose love I have watched, studied, and labored. You have I preached, you have I taught. Never have I said anything against you. If anything was not well said, this is to be attributed to my own ignorance. Neither do I wish to be obstinate in my opinions, but if I have written anything erroneous concerning this sacrament or others, I submit all to the judgment and the correction of the Holy Roman Church, in whose obedience I now pass from this life. This authority to resolve disagreements which Christ has given to his church has recently motivated many non-Catholics, pastors, to convert to Catholicism. One of the more well-known of these converts is Marcus Grodi. He now hosts a weekly television program on the Catholic cable network, EWTN. Marcus's conversion began with a crisis he faced while he was still a Presbyterian minister. Presbyterianism is one of the more than 20,000 different non-Catholic Christian denominations that has emerged since the Protestant Reformation. Here was his dilemma in his own words. Every Sunday I would stand in my pulpit and interpret the scripture for my flock, knowing that within a 15-mile radius of my church, there were dozens of other Protestant pastors, all of whom believed the Bible alone is the sole authority for doctrine and practice, but each of them was teaching something different from what I was teaching. Is my interpretation of Scripture the right one or not? I'd wonder. Maybe one of those other pastors is right on mine, and I'm misleading these people who trust me. There was also the knowledge that I would be required to answer, not just for my own actions, but also for how I led the people he had given me to pastor. Am I preaching truth or error? I asked the Lord repeatedly. I think I'm right, but how can I know for sure? It was as if he found himself in the community of Antioch, but unlike Paul and Barnabas, he had nowhere to go to resolve his doubts and disagreements. He could find no peace of heart because he hadn't found a church well enough equipped to give it to him. Eventually, God led him through his crises into the Catholic Church, the one Jesus had equipped with a real Holy Spirit guaranteed authority. As we believe as Catholics, papal infallibility means that when the Pope teaches from the chair of Peter on matters of faith and morals, he teaches through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit without error. The same is attributed to the Council of Bishops when they are summoned together to debate a teaching. It's also important to note that even the Pope and the bishops cannot overturn long-held Catholic beliefs and traditions that are known to be true. Yet last night and this morning, after giving the homily, several people came from the congregation telling me this is the reason why they themselves had converted and become Catholic, was because there are so many differences in teaching. One individual this morning said he was a Baptist, and then he was a Lutheran, and then he was an Anglican, and then he was a Presbyterian, and then finally he became Catholic. Some of you may know Deacon Bogart. Many years ago, he used to be here. He also was a convert, and for this very reason, he was looking for truth, and he found such disagreement among the churches. I think it's one of the scandals to the world that so many Christian churches are not in union with one another. After Jesus himself prayed that the church might be one. This past week, I was at the barber shop and got into a heated debate with the barber, who said he was going to just found his own Christian church because he knew all the right interpretations of the scripture. And that he wasn't going to call the people that worked for him cardinals, but they would be called eagles. I think he was joking about this, but there is some truth in the fact that it seems very strange how many and how quickly Christian churches have divided and fractured. We are all members of the same church that Christians in the first century Antioch were members of. And like them, like Christians in every age, we have our disagreements, though our issues may be very different. Until recently, for example, there weren't things like embryonic stem cell research, different means of artificial contraception. Even I heard that what's on the rise is the idea of, customizing the baby in the womb. I forget what they call that. But there's all sorts of new technologies that give rise to new questions. In future ages, the issues will continue to change. But the church will always be the same and still well-equipped through the Holy Spirit to resolve the disagreements. If we truly desire the interior peace that Jesus spoke of in our gospel, his own peace given not as the world gives, if we truly want to experience that peace, we can. All we have to do is follow the Holy Spirit's lead. He is the one Jesus gave us to remind us of all that he told us and to teach us everything. And where do we find the Holy Spirit? In his chosen instrument, the teaching authority of the Catholic Church, which Jesus himself founded. And so in the midst of our own difficulties and disagreements, we should always do what the Antioch Christians did, as St. Thomas Aquinas did, as Marcus Grodi did, to appeal to Peter and the apostles, to the Pope and to the bishops in communion with him. Their official teaching will never lead us astray because it is guaranteed by Christ himself through the Holy Spirit. If we abandon it and follow the fashions and fads of our popular culture or other glitzy gurus, we have no such guarantee. We are certain that Christ will come to us today in Holy Communion because the same church teaches us that it is so. When he comes to us, let us renew our commitment to stay faithful to him by staying faithful to his church, even when it's hard or difficult, as it must have been for some of those Antioch Christians. If we do, we will be able to claim for our hearts the peace he longs to give us. Amen.